This week's episode has been brought to you by the paid subscription of Jeff. You, too, could be a hero by going to thedadpodcast.com for just $24 a year. You could change our lives. Or if you don't have money to do that, make three people subscribe to the show, and the same is done. It doesn't make sense. Enjoy the show.
Listen to me, listen to my words as they vanish. Let's go chase the sun and get crazy, have some fun. And if you're on the run, we're chasing the sun.
Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast, episode number 140. I am your host, Justin Worsham. With me, as always, is the one, the only, Paco Lancini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley. How are you, good sir?
I'm terrific. How are you?
I am better. We were supposed to record last night, but Daddy came down with a touch of food poisoning. That's my only assumption why my ass was acting like a water faucet.
Oh, Jesus.
What?
Must you? All right,
why?
Go on.
What's wrong?
It's bringing too graphic an image to mind.
It's not a good way to open the show. I thought I thought parents were comfortable with the bodily fluids and such.
I guess so.
You're too far removed because you have teenagers.
Yes.
What was the last time you were peed on?
Other than just now, down my own leg.
Come on.
No, it's been years.
Yeah.
Been many years.
Well, yeah, I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning and it was insanity. And
that's terrible.
I was in a hard way and we had everything. It went wrong at almost the perfect time. My good friend had his second daughter. Welcome to the world, Hazel Seychelle Miller.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm very happy for him
and
his lovely wife.
I didn't know what that was all about.
And so we got to watch their son, Quinn, and it was awesome. It was fun. I'll talk more about that moment of the week time.
Yeah.
But so then we also had friends coming to visit from out of town because they're going to be moving to Portland eventually. So they wanted to have a couple days at Disneyland, come visit us for a couple days. So they went to Disneyland Wednesday and Thursday. We were supposed to record Friday night.
Yes.
Then they were going to hang out with us Friday during the day. And I, of course, wake up with food poisoning, but I was okay. But so we still had the kid there. She didn't get discharged from the hospital.
Right. Don't
until
say
Friday.
Discharge during
What's wrong?
The course of the story.
Listen, this is 3 days full of discharge. I can tell you that all
Lord.
The way.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And so that was all happening. We had visitors from out of town. Luckily, they're close enough friends that they were fine. They were very helpful
cool,
with the kids.
Cool.
And so I'm feeling much better today. Still don't have an appetite. Very exciting, though. I get to have my cowboy cookies because of what I will now call the purge.
Yes, yes.
I lost about 8 pounds of fluid about 7 to 8 hours. I started at 4 a.m. and I think I weighed tell me my math is wrong, 6 hours. I weighed myself at 10 a.m. and I weighed 8 pounds lighter. So,
oh, my God.
But I think as soon as I start drinking water, it's just all going to come back.
I think so. So just eat the cookies.
Oh, that's a good call.
Yeah.
That's a smart point.
Yeah, don't get tied down with liquids.
Oh, yeah. Very exciting, too. I don't know if do you know what today is, good Paco? The day that we're recording this?
No, what
Not
is
Not the
this?
Day it will be released. For the people listening to this as a podcast, it was released the day before. March 14th, otherwise known
as
Steak and Blowjob Day.
Oh, I forgot. Are you joking?
No, it's serious.
It's also Pi Day.
Really?
That's what I know it as.
Oh, yes. 314, I
yes,
get
we
it.
Were, yes, we were out celebrating Pi Day earlier.
How interesting is it about our dynamic?
Yes.
That I know today is Steak and Blowjob Day, and you, the man who gives me a word calendar,
right,
know this is Pi Day,
well,
as in the mathematical term for the circumference of a circle.
I'm pretty sure you could look that calendar from beginning to end, and you'll never find the phrase blowjob.
Really?
Yeah.
That's no calendar for me.
Apparently
I can
not.
Tell you that. So you do not partake then in the steak and blowjob. Did you have any pie?
Haven't had it yet. It's waiting for me at home.
What kind of pie are you going to have on Pie Day?
Hair pie.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yes, indeedy.
Kicking it off.
Boom goes the dynamite. Paco swinging for the fences.
I got
Hope
myself.
You're listening, Luna. Buckle up.
He's not listening. A chocolate cream
Do you
pie.
Know the muffin man?
On. Unbuckle up. Chocolate cream pie.
Nice. Did you make it? You buy it?
No. I went to this place called I feel like you're almost there.
I
want to say revolution, but that's Republic of Pi.
Oh, okay.
Republic of Pi. It's in NoHo. I'd never been there before. It is the hipster's answer to the, corner bakery.
Okay.
So I went over there.
Lots of skinny jeans and beards and non-prescription glasses.
Is that what I'm picturing?
Is that right?
And a menu that's written out on a chalkboard, it's all very...
even though it's permanent, but it could change.
Very eclectic. You know, no chair is the same. No two chairs are the same.
Oh, really?
The tables are all, different and scattered. And
how did you find this place?
I typed in pie. Into Google. I went,
Google? Burbank, you don't have to go Yelp?
Burbank Pie is what I wrote or something like that. And I got a couple different places. I knew of a couple different ones around, but this was one I'd never heard of. And it was closer than the others.
Well, so. I look forward to on St. Patrick's Day getting your full-blown review. Pun intended.
There you go.
So, all right. I lost the thing. So I have this article.
Oh, well, let me just say this. I'm sorry. No. With regards to missing last night, I did send out a little tweet to the hardcore Paco Nation.
Paco followers?
Yes. And you can imagine the kind of responses we'd get from them. So you have to understand, we have to temper our interpretation of the response I got based on the fact that they're bothering to be on my Twitter.
Okay. Do you have some of these comments prepared?
You know what? I'm sure I can find them really quickly.
Let's do some feedback and
mail. You've got mail.
What's this? A letter for me.
Keep those cards and letters coming.
If you're not ready, I can be because we have some emails here as well that we received from some folks. So you just give me a high sign when you're ready. This says hi. Oh, he's ready.
What do you got?
So this is people respond. Right. What did you say?
This is what I wrote. No show tonight, folks. Papa Bear, which is you.
Okay.
Papa Bear is not feeling well. I guess I'll have to talk to my wife. Well, crap. is what I wrote, much to her chagrin.
Yeah.
Jeff wrote, Paco goes solo.
Oh.
Drew wrote, he'd be late for his own show.
Jeff and Drew are quite the tandem, too,
yes,
in the chat.
Yes, they are. Neurotic Nikki said, Paco and Natalie.
Oh.
And then I wrote, I like the way you're thinking. Believe me, the same idea crossed my mind.
Listen, this thing would fall off the rails if I am not sitting in this captain's chair.
I understand.
You understand?
No, I know.
Listen, it's going to get... Listen, we saw how you two got on just here with me. If it wasn't for the juggernaut of the internet celebrity that I am,
right.
You two would have just completely taken over.
Right, right.
And it would have just been all out mayhem.
Well, we're like those feeder fish, and you're the great great shark.
That's a great analogy.
and then Neurotic Nikki added, or just do Q&A with me and callers.
Oh.
So there are people designing my own.
They're doing our own best of shows.
Yes.
They're producing our show.
Exactly.
Listen, if you know how to turn all this stuff on.
Don't. That's the problem.
Yeah. Then
He's got me by the short hair.
No, it wouldn't even be that. It would just, because here's the thing. I was in a bad way.
I know you were.
To add on top of it, and I'm not complaining per se, because I was trying to suck it up and be a man to try to pretend like I'm a little bit of one.
Right.
But my friend calls me, says, we tell him I got food poisoning, so we may not be able to bring the son to visit the hospital. And then he's like, we're getting out of the hospital now. I'm on my way to pick up the car.
Oh, wow.
And he didn't know this, but his car was very filthy, and I could not let a baby come home from a hospital in such a vehicle, in such a state. So I washed the floorboards, I vacuumed the car out, and then I noticed that their switch for her power windows in her car was busted. It was disconnected from the housing, so when you pushed on it, it sunk down into the arm of the door.
Right.
So I pulled that off, got some JB Weld, and was fixing that. I had to get all that back in together, and I had planned to do that Friday morning and not be puking my guts out.
Right.
I like how uncomfortable you get every time you say it. So I went and did all that stuff. And so subsequently, because I didn't just put my feet up, I think I was really in a bad way. But
listen,
if you guys want to come out here and fire it up.
No.
Don't say no. I'm not so narcissistic that I think it would be a nice way to make people remember how much they love me.
That's true.
I think
that's true. That would show them, and that would teach them a lesson. But again, where if you were to, if you
I
were,
love my listeners too much to punish them by not having me here. You know
right.
what I mean?
Okay. Not by exposing them to unfiltered, uninterrupted.
No,
Paco.
No, that's not the show that they love.
That's true.
You're hearing it.
That's not what they signed up for.
You have to be seeing these comments on the Facebook. We're getting emails flooding in. I mean, I have to whittle them down to these two or three that I picked to read on
these
the air.
Cherries,
but,
yes.
But all these people, they come in, they say, oh my gosh, the show is amazing. It's so much better with the addition of Paco. You
yes,
know what I mean?
I hear that.
It's great. So what I'm hearing that they love is me interrupting you. You understand?
Yes.
That's what I think is what they're really saying.
Well, let me ask you a question.
I will answer.
What kind of response, if maybe it's in what you're about to play
yeah.
or read, what kind of response, if any, did we get from listeners about
Natalie's appearance? Now, nobody said anything like, oh, we love Natalie. I just, okay. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I've had a long time with my wife, and I've had friends of mine that started off as friends of mine who will hang out with my wife and then subsequently be more interested in hanging out with her than me.
Yes.
So I
this comes as a surprise to nobody.
No, not even myself. In the right. beginning, I'll admit, I know it might be shocking for people to hear, I was amazed at this. Yes. I was like, why would anybody? I'm a professional comedian. That
exactly.
is
exactly. And an internet celebrity.
My taxes. At the time, I was not. This is pre, this okay. is, you know, before they were who they okay. are now or whatever.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But this is, I just didn't understand it. You know what I mean?
Right.
My taxes
right.
say I'm funny and compelling and entertaining. Why
yes.
is it that they prefer this?
You have the paperwork to back up this claim.
Loathsome, homely lady who does loans and math for a living. How could that be interesting for someone to talk to?
Right.
And now I found out. It's
yes.
because of her surly mouth. They like
that does help.
They like and they like her straightforward attitude. They like she's a straight shooter.
Yeah,
she doesn't she pulls no punches, mm-hmm. this lady. And the longer I'm with her, the more I love her. I think she was great.
Honestly, I did, too. I had a good time.
I listened back because I wanted to hear how well the PSA went, and I played it for a friend of mine. I don't know why you're laughing. I thought it went over like gangbusters.
I'm sure it did.
How dare you?
No. Listen, I thought she was the star. I felt like I, at best, my performance could be described as serviceable.
No. Listen. I'm gonna shoot straight with you.
All right.
Now, okay.
Yes.
There's a reason why we have to limit her on this show. Okay. Because the people will love her.
Yes.
And then there will be nothing for you and I to do.
I see.
You and I both know.
Yes.
That this mouth can't handle that. You
no.
understand? Like
no.
it's got to have something to go out into.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably just these conversations you and I have now. Is it bi-weekly? Is that the right term? Or
yes, bi-weekly.
Bi-weekly.
Yes.
That is what saves that very marriage, I would imagine.
Okay. Well, I know it's
what happens if
mine.
It gets bottled up. But anyway, so nobody said anything specifically, but we did have emails in regards to that last episode. This one comes to us from Kathy. She says, just listen to your podcast and the three of you are discussing who should pay for college. I agree with Justin and Jesse that the kids should pay for their own way. My daughter was so mad that my ex-husband and I were not going to pay for her to go to college and all her friends' parents were paying for them to go. We told her that was why getting good grades and getting scholarships were so important and she could have her friends pay, her friends' parents pay for her to go to school. My dad also did this thing
yes.
where I would say, Dad, can we have pizza for dinner tonight? And he would say, no. I go, Ryan and PJ have pizza every Thursday at their house. And he goes,
yeah.
Tell you what. And he would like pick up the phone. He goes, give them a call and ask their parents if you can move in with them.
Right.
That's because if they want to take you,
right.
you can have pizza every Thursday too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he and I really have a different approach.
Yes.
Yeah.
Slightly.
Yeah.
It's more of a subtle difference.
Right. Right. I'm not sure. I go to six pizza places.
Yes, exactly.
On one evening.
You have a special right. order for Domino's.
Yes.
A special order for Domino's.
Exactly.
For one of your wonderful family members.
Yes.
We did, however, help her with her car insurance and gave her $100 a month towards living expenses. She did work a full-time job and went to a community college. She did get her AA in general business and has gone back to school to get her degree in finance. It has been 10 and a half years since she graduated high school, and her friends, whose parents were paying for their college, all dropped out, and none of them have a degree or decent jobs. She is working for the state and says that she appreciated and worked harder because she paid for school. My friends that have paid their own way through school have graduated and appreciated their education more than some of my friends whose parents paid for school. I had two friends that were brothers that back in the 80s, their parents paid $1,000 for each son to go to school. They received their degrees in engineering and then did not become engineers. Instead, right, they became right. custodians at the local school district. If I had been their parents, I would have made them pay the money back. Just
well,
saying.
that tags back on what you were saying last time about wanting to change majors. So what is the case there for you? You foot the bill, they graduate with mm-hmm. the degree that you guys agreed upon and they went through, but then they don't pursue that as a career.
Then I take it a step further. I agree. I start invoicing them. That's what I do. Okay. Either that or yes. that slice gets taken out of their inheritance.
Okay.
See, my sons are scheduled. Now, if that's there's a lot. The financial planner likes to throw large numbers around, I've
yeah,
heard.
Yeah.
My kids are scheduled to have about $40,000 each when they graduate high school.
Okay.
It's in a custodial account right now.
Yeah.
Upon their 17th birthday, because upon their 18th birthday, I no longer have control over that money.
Yeah.
So upon their 17th year and 11-month birthday,
yeah.
I will close that account and put all that money back in my name. And then if they are not idiots, then they will have access to that money. Mm-hmm. But if they decide to go to school or whatever, and I will not be paying for school. But if they do something that costs me money,
yeah.
I have a tab. You see what I mean?
Yes.
In the rock and roll world, they call it a float fund. You have to pay the bus driver a certain money.
Yeah, yeah.
You give him $1,500 so he could pay for gases to clean the bus and all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, sure. I used
and that's
to carry
what I'm treating
float.
This as. Yeah, exactly.
Not that I drove a bus.
But still. Another email is Kelly says, I was listening to your most recent episode with your dad, and you mentioned dropping cards entirely now that you don't need the travel points as much. What my husband and I did was a straight cash back card. Many offer 2% back on bonuses in different categories. Like this month, I get 5% back on gas and 2% on everything else. So she was just suggesting, and I threw it out there just in case anybody yeah. else was like, oh, yeah, that's not a bad idea. My thing is I would like to have zero debt. The only reason I would like to have no, because I'm a big Dave Ramsey guy.
Yeah.
The only reason I got the credit card is because I was paying it off every week, and it allowed me to get really good miles. A lot of my flights ended up being free
yeah.
because I would buy all my groceries and stuff like that. Right now, if I'm not traveling as much, doesn't make a lot of sense, and it would be smarter for me just to have zero debt. That's my opinion, but
yeah.
I wanted to share that with the listeners just in case there was something else. Oh, my gosh, and then we have another email from Kathy. Says, hey, Justin and Paco, just listened to the last three episodes. You, Adam, and your dad always make me laugh and think I am a subscriber and think I am a subscriber. There we go. There's a period in there that I missed. And I've emailed you previously on money issues just to, as a reminder, because I know you get a ton of emails from fans. I own a bookkeeping service in Carson City, Nevada. It's called Wellington Bookkeeping Service. That's me saying that. It's not her plugging herself.
Right.
My mother had started the business, and one of the services we offer is personal budgeting. Anyway, tell Adam, Paco, that he has a great laugh, and don't listen to the haters. They are just jealous because they are miserable.
Yes.
I would love to be able to talk to you guys sometime because it would be far less time-consuming than typing a long email. I listen to you when I'm at work, and you usually are doing your podcast after I've gone home, so I can't call in. Just a couple of bullet points. I am about the same age as your dad, a year younger, but everything you guys talk about is hits home, whether it's about kids, money, relationships, movies, etc. My children are grown and I have one grandchild, but I remember clearly the ups and downs of having kids. Just to clarify about Social Security, you do pay into it when you pay your taxes. So she's talking about me. I said that because I'm self-employed, I don't think I'm going to have any Social Security.
Right.
If you are a sole proprietor, which I am, you pay both the employee and employer's portion. There will probably still be Social Security when you are old enough to collect it, even though some people think that there won't be. The way the government could elevate the shortage problem is twofold. Right now, there's a cap on Social Security as an employee. If you make over $118,500 a year, you stop paying into Social Security. If that was lifted, no matter how much money you made, you would pay into it. That would help the Social Security deficit. Two, if the government would quit borrowing from it, which every president has done since Truman, or pay back what they have borrowed. So there you go. That's a little interesting tidbit from Kathy,
you know,
I'd given up on
Social Security myself.
She also suggested that I take money from whatever money I get, I have to start doing, because usually when we pay taxes, Natalie's money that was withheld on her W-2
yeah.
more than covered my income. But now that Daddy's considered quasi-successful, I got to pay the piper. So
yes.
I have to start paying quarterly payments and blah, blah, blah. This has been Tax Talk brought to you by the Dad Podcast. I think that's about it. I think I need to start making note of the Twitter things, because lots of people have been mentioning on Twitter how they think the show is firing on all cylinders.
Oh, good,
there's
good.
Another gentleman named Jeff. I don't think it's the Jeff you're talking about.
I don't think so either.
But he was saying that how much he loves the show and how great it has gotten since you joined in. And I think that's it
that's
that I have
sweet.
There. But I have this article that actually my friend Kevin sent to me that I thought was really, really interesting.
Oh, yeah.
It says, why Generation Y yuppies are unhappy. Now, I don't know a lot about Generation Y. Do you?
I don't think so, no.
Lucy is part of Generation Y, the generation born between the late 70s and the mid-90s. So I guess that would be me. She's also part of a yuppie culture that makes up a large portion of Gen Y. I think that's also me. I'm very yuppie, right?
You don't strike me as yuppie, but that's...
I have a tour with for yuppies that in the Gen Y age group. I call them Gen Y protagonists and special yuppies, or gypsies. A gypsy is a unique brand of yuppie, one who thinks they are the main character of a very special story. This is sounding nothing like me.
No.
So Lucy's enjoying her gypsy life, and she's very pleased to be Lucy. Only issue is this one thing. Lucy's kind of unhappy. To get to the bottom of why, we need to define what makes someone happy or unhappy in the first place. It comes down to a simple formula. Happiness equals reality minus expectations. Now, does that make sense to you when I just
say it again?
Happiness equals reality minus expectations.
It doesn't make sense to me in that sentence, but when you go on to explain it, it made more sense.
Well, yeah, so I guess what it is that if we, to put it in mathematical terms, is that the level of your what you expect to be happy,
yes,
is less than what the level of your reality is, then you are positive in the happy category. So, for instance, say you would state
is this
going
to be on the final?
Yes, it will.
Okay.
Say you're going to say in reality, I'm living a 5 of a lifestyle.
Yes.
My expectations are that I only lived a 3 of a lifestyle. Then I'm going to be very happy.
Well, you're at +2.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
So I think that's what it is. It's pretty straightforward. When the reality of someone's life is better than they had expected, you're happy. When reality turns out to be worse than the expectations, they're unhappy. To provide some context, let's start by bringing Lucy's parents into the discussion. Now, I'm going to start to paraphrase this, but I will have it posted on our Facebook page at facebook.com/dadpodcast on the day that this episode releases. But it essentially goes on to say that the greatest generation, or the GI generation, these are the guys and gals and everybody that fought in World War II and went through the Depression and all that stuff. The
yeah.
reason why they were very happy is because they grew up in these really economically depressed times. And so therefore, their expectation of life was very low.
Yes.
So, like, for instance, my grandfather scared the living crap out of me.
Stay here for a second.
My grandfather, what is that? Oh, this is some...
Happy Pie Day.
Happy Pie Day.
Yeah.
Oh, I was hoping for a steak and a BJ, but whatever.
Well, I'm hoping that one of your family members will come in and give me
and
something.
And bring you a blowjob?
Yeah.
or a piece of steak?
Yes.
So... what this is here is, well, here, and we can turn on Diego's mic there if I think that will work, if you want. So to go into this, where was I? The economic depression. Oh, my grandfather.
Yes.
He used to talk about, and there's an episode that was released about in January of maybe a couple years ago. It was right after his passing. I did an episode with him and my dad. And mm-hmm. one of the things that I thought was really interesting is that he said about raising kids in today's time is that he doesn't know how people do it because when he was young, you never knew what you didn't have. He literally, his toys
right.
were used corn cobs that he would pretend were horses, and he would play with them in the backyard until someone needed them to use as toilet paper in the outhouse.
Right.
That was his life, and he said, and we loved it because
yeah.
we never knew what the neighbors had because the neighbors were 5 miles away. But he said, now, what I thought was really interesting is this not even high school educated redneck from a cotton farm in northern Texas.
Yeah.
He was able to really get some profound modern media theory out of what's going on in the world. He's like, now kids are just bombarded with commercials that show them, you need to have this, you need to have this, you need to have this, you should have this.
Yeah.
He said, I wouldn't even know how to deal with that, how to comprehend
wow.
it. So it goes into that, and then it talks about the baby boomers, how they grew up in like a really economically prosperous time,
right.
and that they raised their kids. And I think my dad is technically a baby boomer. Is that fair? Are you a baby boomer?
I don't know. I was born in 65.
My dad was born in 57. So I don't know. Well, anyway,
we got to be two different generations.
To kind of really wrap it all up and put a button on it is that the idea is that then these people grew up in economically prosperous times, and so they experienced a really high quality of life. Mm-hmm. And so then when they talk to their children, they would say things like, "You could do whatever you want to do," and they make a big deal out of "you're special," is what they say. To be clear, gypsies want economic prosperity like their parents did. They just also want to be fulfilled by their career in a way their parents didn't think about as much. But something else is happening too. While the career goals of Gen Y, or gypsies as a whole, have become much more particular and ambitious, Lucy has been given a second message throughout her childhood as well. You're special. This would probably be a good time to bring in our second fact about gypsies. Gypsies are delusional. Sure, Lucy has been taught everyone will go and get themselves some fulfilling career, but I am unusually wonderful, and as such, my career and life path will stand out amongst the crowd. So on top of the generation as a whole having the bold goal of a flowery career lawn, each individual gypsy thinks that he or she is destined for something even better, a shiny unicorn on top of the flowery lawn. So why is this delusional? Because this is what all gypsies think, which defines the definition of special: better, greater, or otherwise different from what is usual. According to this definition, most people are not special. Otherwise, special wouldn't mean anything.
Yeah, that kind of grinds me a little bit. I'm kind of not even necessarily with my kids, who, by the way, are special.
Yes.
But I mean that other kind of special. no.
Diego, take your helmet off. It always,
but that idea has always bothered me. Two things that I'm
what
thinking
idea?
Of. That everyone is special. You yeah. begin to. But one thing that I flashed on while you were talking was this mm-hmm. picture of my father, born in 1927. So this is a picture from 1935. I mean, this is a rough time.
Yeah.
And it's, rural West Virginia. I'm not sure there was another kind of West Virginia at that time. And it's a class photo. And you have never seen a collection of more hopeless faces mm-hmm. than the faces of these 8 or 9-year-olds. Just devastating to look at. And then when I think about where he has come in his lifetime, it's extraordinary that he came from that place. Mm-hmm. And he's in the back. There's like 2 rows of people and then him behind everybody because he got there late. It's genetic. Yeah. And his collar is off to the – yeah, I mean, he just looks like he's been in a fight. It just looks a little unkempt back there. Uh-huh. But to be fair, none of them look – I mean, they yeah. all look dirt poor.
Right.
But his clothes aren't settled on him properly. So when you were talking about a generation of people who all had a mindset having lived through very hard times and expecting very little to happen, that everything is gravy when it does happen. That's one thing I thought. And the other thing I thought of was being in college.
Do you think that's a fair assessment of what your dad perceived his life to be? Like, is he kind of like, things worked out great for me? Like,
Yeah, I'm not sure worked out great because he's had his share of troubles as well. But
right.
if he looks at his life as it is now, I'm sure he can't complain about day to day right now.
Well, and I think what the example that they're saying is that if you take starting with his generation,
yeah.
right? Like, if you look at the quality of life from beginning to end that he had.
Yeah.
Right. Compared to, say, the quality of life that you have from beginning to end and I have from beginning to end.
Yeah.
The idea that we aren't infinitely more happy than he is, I think, is what they're kind of discussing here.
Right. Right. No. I understand. It's a very interesting article. And I didn't mean to take you off the rail.
No, you're not.
Along the lines of
I'm asking if you had anything like if what your opinion was of that, like if do you think that he sees himself as more or less happy than, say, you would?
Does he see himself more or less happy than I see myself?
Yes, exactly.
He has no dogs. So, no, I don't
He's
know.
Infinitely more happy.
He's infinitely more happy.
Yeah.
The one dog he had is dead.
You know why? Because he ate it.
yeah, right.
It's those two things. They keep money in a mattress,
yeah, right.
and they eat every dog they get.
Dog
the minute that dog looks at him cross-eyed
yes.
or gets a limp, put it down. Going to have
Boom.
A barbecue.
Yeah. semi-unrelated when I was, but close, more closely related to that special idea. When I was in college in New York in the West Village, and particularly, in the East Village area particularly, although I lived in the West Village, there was a lot of, people with, and this is going back now sometimes, about 30-some-odd years ago, now you see some of these things more commonly, but there sort of was a culture where people have the, you know, where the piercings and the noses are pierced and the cheeks are pierced and purple hair and, yeah. and the dark clothes and everything. And they were all so busy sort of rebelling against normal mm-hmm. that they just became their own collection of that is now normal. Yeah. And what are you rebelling against
anymore? It's like alternative
anymore?
Music eventually becomes pop music. Grunge right. music eventually yeah. just became rock and roll. Like.
And I always just wanted to scream at those people and just go, take a bath, wash your hair.
Which ironically makes you sound like your father.
Yeah, exactly. at 19, I wanted to yell at all of them.
And turn down that chubby checker and get a job.
Exactly. So that just your special thing made me think of the same thing. Once everybody becomes the thing,
yes.
there is nothing else.
And I think that's obviously what they're getting at. They said, unfortunately, the funny thing about the world is that it turns out to not be that easy of a place. And that the weird thing about careers is that they're actually quite hard. Great careers take years of blood, sweat, and tears to build, even the ones with no flowers or unicorns on them. And even the most successful people are rarely doing anything that great in their early or mid-20s. But gypsies aren't about to just accept that. So I don't know. I don't want to beat this whole thing to death if you want to read more about it, because I do think it's very interesting.
I mean, basically, your message to the parents who are listening is make your kids miserable.
Yeah.
Because then everything that comes afterwards will seem delightful.
Right. That's the yes. idea. Lower the expectation.
Yeah, right, exactly.
It's no different than why I wear cargo shorts and a T-shirt. I've joked about this with the other preschool moms at the
yeah,
preschool. It's
right.
Like they talk about how there's a basketball coach who's yeah. a husband of the actress, what's her name, Mia or Nia Long or whatever.
Okay.
She her kid goes to the same preschool, and so he comes by, and he's a looker. He used to play for the LA Lakers, and now yeah. he coaches for the San Antonio Spurs. And his wife is, you know, no cracker tosser. Is that's not a thing?
I'm not sure.
What's the thing where you say I wouldn't toss her out of bed for eating crackers?
Well, that's what it is. But I like call cracker those
a,
tosser.
I call yeah. her a cracker tosser. Is what I call her. But my point is that whenever he shows up with a kid, like all the moms are like, even the teachers would fix their hair and zhuzh it up a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And what I found interesting is that I came in a polo one day, like just a black polo.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, well, hello there. Look at you, fancy pants. Yeah. And well, I go, you see?
You do look really good
in a polo,
black,
right?
In that black polo.
In that black polo.
Yeah, I've had a little, you know, a half Woody
Listen,
over here.
You're constantly looking through your window. That is that is infinitely. I don't know why I keep saying infinitely this all about this episode. It's like it was in a calendar or something that was given to me. Probably not. That's even too small a word for that calendar.
Yeah, exactly. It's too relevant and usable.
This is how ill and busy you could tell I've been. It's still set to March 7th.
Yeah,
this
right,
is March 7th,
right.
8th, last
oh,
week.
Oh, my God.
But anyway. My point is that I explained to these moms, I said, see, this is why I do this. If you keep it simple,
yeah.
if you keep a steady state of disheveledness, that one time right. that you clean it up, all of a sudden, boom, fireworks.
Makes a statement, yeah.
Should be taking notes right now.
And you don't even have to clean it up that much.
No, not really.
Now, I have a quick question for him.
Yeah.
If you've
His
wrapped
mic
up,
is hot.
If you've wrapped the thing up,
yes.
you can put on your cans if you want to. He may play a sound effect that you want to hear or something. No, he just shook his head at me.
Now, do you know why that's funny to me?
Why?
I spend a lot of time perusing the interweb for those funny little cartoon and memes that I
yes.
find to post on the podcast, right?
Yeah.
And the first...
He's openly laughing at you
the
now.
Well, let me find it, because it's... When I do like a search for parental humor, right? And it comes up with an image search. Now, it's going to work because this time will be the one. Yeah, here we go. This is the first one that has come up for a solid 3 months right here. It says, welcome to being a parent. Oh, wait, now I hit the wrong damn button. Now, welcome to being a grandparent. I don't know how to operate a computer. Welcome to be a parent. Being a parent of a teenager. Prepare for a large amount of eye rolling, emotional outbursts, and thoughts of running away. And that's just the parents. But it made me think of it because you're having a conversation with him, and he's
yeah.
like, oh, yeah, whatever. I don't know.
All right. So we were talking. I don't know if it was last week or someone was talking about they were having a second kid, and we just got into this conversation about, you know, when kids were born, with things that were happening, and there was a. I remember fairly well the night that Hudson was born, and I didn't know if you remembered it at all. You would have been 2.5, so you don't...
I don't remember that at all.
You have
all.
To get right on the mic to talk. There you go.
I don't remember that at all.
Okay. All right. That's it.
That's a wrap.
Then you're done. Come on. No.
I see pictures.
I need a good stinger.
Him.
Right. That's 2 days, 3 days later.
But I have no recollection of
that. Okay. Because he was born, I'll really do this real quick, but he was born in the afternoon while you were still at daycare. I picked you up and brought you home. He and mom were in the hospital. And so you and I had, so what I,
oh, I remember
the,
this story.
Was the last night that you were a single, you were an only child for the last time that night. Now I was aware of all that. And I told you when I got home that, that you had a brother and that they were both fine and all of that. I updated you on it, but it was sort of like the last time the house was quiet sort of a thing. But you would have no way of having known what it was going
to
be like.
Do you remember how I responded to this?
You cried nonstop. No, I'm joking. There's a photograph. I have to dig it up. I said I would, and I didn't find it. Of you. Do you remember that little white scooter thing we used to have that had like the Mr. Potato Head you could attach?
No.
Okay.
No,
it was a white little.
Wish you could see his face. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, you had the mouth of that over your face, so it looked like this big clown smile. But you had these very sort of, you know, sad eyes, like a German shepherd who's been yelled at and had a towel snapped at her. And so he was asking if you, in fact, were sad. And I said, I don't know. I could have been projecting all of it. It sounds like I was. You don't even remember. All right. So there you go, folks.
I just love how nothing can break for you. You're describing this very sweet moment.
Yeah.
And your son is like. Let me just. I'll provide the audio to his facial. Right. I have no idea what you're talking about. I just want to go back to my hammock. I don't know why I'm here.
Well, there you go. You can give a hammock report.
How are you sleeping better in the hammock?
I'm sleeping wonderfully. Yeah.
Wonderfully.
Yeah.
How is your back?
Fine. Absolutely fine.
That's because you're young. How long do you think this will last? The hammock. What? Because to me, I feel like the hard part is when you are going to, you know, grow up and then leave your home. Are you going to then force your future wife or a woman that you will be living in sin with? Whatever you, I'm not here to judge your lifestyle.
Look, as soon as they see the hammock, I think all bets are off.
You think so? That's what I mean.
It's going to be a month.
I don't know. I feel like if I'm a chick, I want to bang around in a hammock a little. Don't you think?
Yeah, probably.
Is it uncomfortable to talk about sex with your son in the room?
No, it's okay.
Especially when he's having it in the hammock that you installed? That's the way we button this.
We can go back.
We got to get you a chick to bang you in that hammock in your parents' house. Well, how long till prom? What's going on, Dooley's? Why is everybody?
I don't
just
know.
So you
I'm
know.
I'm going to prom on May 2nd.
May 2nd. You guys got to get out of the house.
That.
You got to blow out of town. You got to take Chad with you. And just so magic can be made in that hammock.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm sure that.
To flower some young chiefess.
Don't let him pressure you.
Don't let him pressure you.
Why is he saying that? Why? Listen, I'm trying to get you laid in a hammock. How many people? Do you have a hammock getting laid story?
No, I don't.
I do not either. You could come and tell all the listeners. There's nobody listening to the show that has a getting laid in a hammock story.
True enough. I don't know why you're looking at me. There may be, but I don't
know. You talked to him on the Twitter, I thought.
Yeah, but this doesn't come up that much.
Oh, well, all right. Okay. I'm just saying. Why not?
All right.
I want to say, the minute I said getting laid in a hammock, to have another visual example on this audio medium of you two being together in your DNA, is that both of you lowered your head in the exact same fashion at the exact same time. The only difference was your son is wearing a hat. That's the big difference. Oh, man. All right. I'm glad you enjoy the hammock.
Well, but the actual question you asked him was, when you move out, do you plan on taking a hammock with you?
How are you going to find a lady that will share a hammock with you?
Hey, you keep bringing it back to the lady. We just want to know, is he doing it in his dorm room?
It's not interesting.
Oh, all right, fine.
It's not interesting. I want to say, because here's, it's interesting to me, coitus in a hammock. That's number one on my questions of interest.
Yes.
Number two is that if he grows accustomed to the hammock, and we all know that when you grow, you know, you find a lady that you're going to eventually share a bed with, you choose sides, and then you have fights over how soft and firm the mattress should be.
She'll sleep on the floor like the dog does.
Then you're going to have to go ethnic. I'm just going to say.
Oh, my God.
No, listen, I'm being honest.
Yeah.
I'm being honest.
Well, maybe somebody from Berkeley.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, another Berkeley would be two. That's what I'm saying. It's like then it goes back to 1940s where it's like two twin beds. You have two hammocks. The only nice thing is that the meshing allows you to like do like a swing into each other's genitals, maybe of some kind.
Yes.
This is all for you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the last hammock report. And
there you go. Hammock report.
There we go.
You're You're welcome, fair listeners. You're welcome. Oh, wait. Let me just, real quick before he leaves, let me just peruse the chat. Yeah. See, people are also interested in this. Lacey's already okay. Saying, yeah, physics and gravity will always win. Sounds dangerous to this guy. Nor does anyone. See, Lacey also doesn't know anybody who's had sex in a hammock. I've been laid in a ton of location situations, and I do not have a hammock story. See?
Okay, well.
I'm just saying.
Come on up, Lacey.
I don't know what this is in reference to.
Get on a Greyhound and
butcher tree.
Teach the boy
you
a thing
or two. You want her to mount your son like a Mrs. Robinson situation?
Who knows what she is?
Let me just say, Lacey, he's a looker. He's a handsome guy, and he does cross country, which I think says volumes about his stamina.
Stamina?
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think he knows how to pace himself. How comfortable are you with this conversation, Diego?
Growing less and less.
Okay,
by the max.
Would you like to leave this room now?
I have since I walked in.
All right. Well, thank you for staying and playing along.
Thank you for my wonderful chocolate pecan pie.
Oh, you're welcome.
That is delicious. Did you make that, or is that from your pie place? Or is this for your dad? Is this for me, or is this
no?
For
that's
your dad?
For you.
Oh, okay. What's he looking at?
I don't know.
Oh, okay, bye.
I think he's expecting a tip. Do you have a little something?
I don't. I'm all sorry. Right. I gave it the all office. Right.
Thank
sorry.
You for
it's
coming
so embarrassing.
Over.
He usually
coming.
Covers the tip. I don't understand why this is happening.
Just the tip.
That was awesome. That was great. Here's another fun article. The average wedding now costs $31,000 plus 10 more wedding stats. Here they come your way. What did you spend on your wedding? Do you remember?
I don't.
You don't?
No, because I think out of pocket, Luna and I might have been about.
So you had like parents covered or what?
Yeah, we did. But does this go along with the same idea as the college thing that we're not really going to appreciate our marriage if somebody else pays for it?
Yes.
Okay.
No, it doesn't.
Well,
no.
they were willing to cover everything, but we paid some of it out of pocket. My guess is it wouldn't have been more than. I want to say $18,000 to $20,000.
Yeah. Mine was in the 70
people.
This is not counting the honeymoon, by the way.
Okay, neither am I.
Mine was $6,000 to $7,000, probably in the $8,000 range by the time you add the honeymoon. And I'll never forget this because my wife and I were very young. We were 20 and 21 when we got married.
Yeah.
I proposed to her the year beforehand, and she came to me after we were supposed to. I told her I wanted to get married by an Elvis impersonator in Vegas. I said, we can have a fake ceremony and a party for everybody, but I wanted my legal marriage to be done by an Elvis. But the minute I proposed to her, she went and got all these bridal magazines. So I knew this
was boy.
Yeah, no bueno.
Here's the thing is that most women are planning this or thinking about this from a very young age.
And so I went and I said, okay, let's do the full-blown wedding. She did some research, came back to me, and it's great. Guys who have been through this, especially if you were broken and also did not have parents paying for your wedding.
Yeah.
She says, I've got great news. I said, what's that? She goes, I got our whole wedding down to $5,000. Now, all the women who just listened instantly elevated my wife up on a pedestal. They were like,
wow,
she is sacrificing a lot of dreams. There are a lot of birds that will not take flight this afternoon.
Right.
There are a lot of tropical flowers that will receive love from another wedding of some kind.
Yes.
That this will just be borderline Amish type wedding and kudos to her.
Yes.
There are a lot of guys that are going, why the fuck didn't I marry this bitch's sister? And what I said was that time I said, that's awesome, dear. If you could do whatever you did about two or three more times, we might be able to get married.
Right.
Which was instantly met with tears, just crying. Yeah. And that was our big fight that we had that, you know how you have the fight where it almost like, we're going to call the whole thing off. It's over. We're Oklahoma in this shit. And
we're doing what to the show?
Oklahoma. You know, is that let's call the whole thing off? Isn't that from Oklahoma?
I don't think that song is from Oklahoma. No.
Oh, all right. Never mind then.
No, it's okay.
Maybe it's, I don't know, fuck it. 45% of weddings go over budget. Only 6% stay under budget. Math seems wrong on that. Or the rest are right on budget. 24% of weddings today are destination weddings. Is that, I always get pissed when people are like, hey, come, we're getting married in Fiji. Come on out.
Oh, yeah, that's.
But it's also kind of diabolical where you don't have to deal with a lot of your broke family members that usually get too drunk on the free bar and ruin the wedding anyway.
Yeah.
It's a double win. The average.
Assuming that it's only the broke people in your family who are pains in the asses.
Well, usually it is.
Okay.
I think. I don't know.
Right.
How many, you have any affluent family members that you're like, no, fuck these people?
No. There's nobody in my family who has any money except my parents.
See, and they're good people, right? The average engagement lasts 14 months. The most popular month to get engaged is December, which is Christmas, I'm assuming. I don't know why that is a thing.
I don't know why either.
16% of all proposals happen that month, and the most popular month to get married is June.
That's 1 month after my anniversary. When is your anniversary?
May.
Nice, sweet. We sandwiched it.
Yeah.
The average number of bridesmaids is between 4 and 5. How many bridesmaids did you have? I think we had 5.
Maybe it was 4.
All right. This is not a fun conversation.
No, it's fine. I'm just trying to remember.
No, it's fine.
Everything looks like it hurts me now.
The average number.
The big bug eye.
Average number of guests is 136. I think we had about 80 or something like that. Do you remember how many you had?
We had 70.
Really?
Yeah.
That's good. That's a nice small wedding, huh? The average bride is 29 years old.
I mean, at the actual ceremony, there was probably 30.
Yeah.
And then the reception everybody should.
That's kind of fucked up. They only come for the booze?
No, I think they were only invited. It was a very small room.
Oh, I see. I gotcha. The average bride is 29 years old. The average groom is 31. The average bride spends $1,357 on their dress. The groom only spends $254 on the tux, probably a rental.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
The most expensive part of a wedding is renting the venue, which costs an average of $14,000. The most expensive place to get married is Manhattan, where the average wedding costs more than $76,000. The cheapest is Utah, where it's over $15,000. Denver Drew said it's the Bell's palsy that's hurting you.
Yes.
We haven't gotten an update on that in a while. How are you feeling? Are you okay?
I feel fine. No, it's still there. I would say I'm about 72.25% recovered. But I still
like the
have...
quarter. What part of your face is the quarter? No. Is it an extra plosive? Is it your B?
Yeah, B.
Is the quarter percent?
No, I think my language probably sounds okay, but I can feel that, for example, probably was a little, it was very soft, probably. I mean, there's some words that just always sound to me like I'm a little bit drunk, and I don't like how they feel coming out of my mouth. Feel, for example, does not feel good.
Really? It sounds good. Well, I remember you saying that it was like 2 to 3 weeks. Mm. Like, is there?
No, that's what people were saying. Oh, this will be over in 2 to 3 weeks. I was always 2 to 3 months.
And oh, okay.
I was just talking to.
That makes me feel much better. I was
a doctor.
I guess
yes.
I was inappropriately asking you on the show, going, "Should I really be worried about you right now?"
Right. No. I saw a doctor not related to the Bell's palsy, who said that could be up to a year.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, not okay for me, but I understand. I'm still within the.
Well, I'm sure it's not fun to be going through it. But for the rest of us that enjoy your company,
sure.
That is good. That means that it's normal, is what I'm saying.
Yes, yes. I'm within the parameters.
Your expectation
parameters.
Is very low in reality. So we are all, our expectation of your recovery in reality are very much simpatico. All right, well, tell us about your good week, my friend.
Oh, hang on a second. My thing fell asleep. What? And my computer.
Oh, yeah. I've been wanting to talk to you about that. Uh-oh. You've noticed, have kept my pants on during the show. I don't know why a level of comfort. And why your son removed his when he walked into the studio.
Well, it's just a family thing.
Okay,
yeah.
Fair enough.
Some houses you can't wear shoes in.
Okay.
We have a slightly different
weird Fiji
approach.
Thing or whatever?
Yeah. okay. Well, we're going back a couple of days now, but... I know I did talk about having gone up to the Wisdom Tree with Chad.
Yes.
And then probably a week later, went back up there again with Diego, but this time we brought along Luna. Somehow she agreed to take this this hike with us, and we had a really good time.
Also, word on the street, people love hearing your impression of her.
Oh. I'm glad to hear that. So, yeah. Well, maybe that's why she doesn't listen anymore. It's all the bloom is off the rose. It was fun. She's got something of a fear of heights. Mm-hmm. And this is a pretty steep, pretty narrow little path.
So you're like, let's take her to the top of a mountain.
Well, in the morning, you know, Diego's like, you got to come with us. You got to come with us. And she was sort of like trying to build up her nerve and trying to ask if I really thought it would be a good idea. And I didn't want to come right out and say no and rain on it. But I did want to give her a very good impression of what it would be like. She had been to some South American something where there was some kind of pyramid where you go up the stairs. I don't know what it is. Somebody else will know, Machu Picchu or one of these things.
That sounds right.
When she was much younger.
And she fell off of this?
No,
she
scampered up, climbing it almost like a ladder. That's how steep that thing was. She got up, she turned around, looked down, and went, well, I ain't getting down. So she had to come down on her butt like one step at a time. This is one of these things that's 1,000 steps or whatever it is. So she was comparing it to that. And I said, I don't think it's going to be too much. It may be a little bit like that for you. I said, you know what? That's not fair. Once you get to the top of this thing, you'll think of your South American pyramid as the good old days. Yeah. You'll wish you were back there because there's no way you're coming down on your butt.
There's no steps on this one, sugar.
Exactly. But it was lovely to have them up there, and I would love to get everyone up there at once. I don't think it'll happen, but because at least two of them are never going again. On the way down, because
you're slowly weeding out your family members having enjoyment. Well.
There were a bunch of teenage girls that climbed a tree with a few friends of theirs who were boys, and they had Diego taking their picture up in the tree. And
one of them a potential candidate for Hamilton?
I don't know. They all were very attractive ladies, and I noticed that they didn't ask the heavyset, bald, sweaty guy to take their picture. They asked the young man, and then they had him retake it multiple times.
By the way, if I'm in your situation, I'm like, here, let me just do it on my phone. I'll email it to you.
Exactly.
just to up the creep factor.
So I have a picture of him taking pictures of them.
That didn't make them feel comfortable.
Oh,
I'm
well,
sure.
I don't think they realized what I was up to. And then to come back down in order to make her feel less anxious and freaked out, we tied a rope on her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You really did?
We did. To her backpack. She lashed her backpack to herself. No. So there's a picture of Diego somewhere with a mom on a leash. And we made it through. And
next time you go hiking, you have to get her one of those teddy bear backpacks, like the people with their kids in the airport. That's what I want to see.
Or Diego can just carry her the way the Wookiee carried
C-3PO. Oh, C-3PO in a backpack of some kind of his own.
Or Luke and
she's going to have to do a lot more yoga if she can put her legs. I don't know what you guys do. I don't know. It's March 14th when we're recording this. You never know what's going to happen later tonight.
That was terribly exciting to me to have that. And tomorrow we may be doing another more adventurous climb that I can tell you about some other time, since it doesn't have anything to do with parenting. And then during the course of this week, Hudson has been just having a lot of – sorry, which one? Chad has been having a lot of trouble with the with the independent study. I mean, it's one thing when you go to class every day and they go, you must get this done, da, 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 da. But these people are like, you're setting your own pace and you're doing your own thing. And he's having a lot of trouble.
I feel like his teacher's name, like Sunflower or Midnight Breeze. Is
Christy.
That? Christy, huh? Christy. Same difference. Same
Christy.
Difference.
So anyway, he is he just buckled down this week and he's taking it a little bit more seriously.
Oh, good.
So that was very cool. And then yesterday he hung out with his actual flesh and blood friends from the school he no longer attends,
what a world that we live in. that as parents, we will get together in multiple moments from this point moving forward and have a moment and go, how's your life going? Listen, Johnny hung out with his actual friends, like face to face, because now they're my nieces and nephews talk to their friends on Skype. I'm like, you could go to their house. You're teenagers. You have cars. But it saves gas. I'm worried about my carbon footprint. Now they add on top of that, you're going to have friends that you have like with online gaming friends that you never get to interact with. But it's a lot more entertaining world to exist in and interact with friends.
Exactly. Well, he had sworn that he was done. He would never see them again or talk to them again. And I wasn't ever quite clear what transgression.
The real life friends?
Yeah, the real life friends. What they had done that was wrong. I think it might have been as much about he felt awkward being around them after his episode, we'll call it. I'll get into more details at some point. But
it's a teaser, we call in the biz. Yeah. It's a teaser.
Right.
We're going to keep you glued. We have secret production. I mean, there is no incident. There is no anything.
There is nothing. No,
this is nothing.
There's
more.
Not even any Chad.
This is essentially the lost of podcasting. There you're just going to tune into the last episode hoping to finally have all your questions answered.
Yes.
Only to find out that Chad has been living in heaven.
Exactly. So, in any case, he went out for a walk, and then I got a text that said he was at his friend's house and hanging out a little bit, and then there was a flurry of parental things back and forth, and it mushroomed into a us taking them out to dinner and then them going to stay at a friend's house. So Luna and I went out to see a terrible movie by all accounts.
Are we transitioning straight into a pick a flick right now?
We can. That is the next thing on my list.
All right, let's do a little pick a flick. Also, I've heard people love the song.
It's a winner.
Yeah.
Pick a flick. It's time for Paco and his pick a flick. Well, he's been on another movie kick.
A country bear with a Diet Coke.
Listen quick. Is it a hit or shitter? Should you book a sitter? Pick a flick. It's time for you to find out just what you should see. But he won't cheer and sing because he hates everything. It's time for Paco's Pick a Flick.
I think I'm just breathing heavy into the microphone, actually. This would make much more sense if I had an old-fashioned instead of just ginger ale. It's all my tummy can handle tonight.
I was kind of half hoping to see I'd find a little pomegranate martini. When
I know. No, I've not done anything. Which, by the way, I got a great text from Chris, I was excited for Steak at BJ Day, but I didn't read the text. I just looked at the picture. He was having a gigantic T-bone steak only on a plate and said his wife and kids were out of town.
Yeah.
And staying with the in-laws, so he was eating a man dinner. and in the background, I didn't notice he had an old-fashioned, and he said after hearing us talk about it, he was craving it.
He went back out and did
it.
So,
yeah.
All right. Well, first, I want to really quickly just touch on Whiplash, something I had never said after you had seen it, which was I could not help but think, and I hope people who are listening to us said at least some of them have gone out and seen it already and understand, because there's not spoilers here. But I thought of you more often during that movie than I think of you during the course of most days, keeping in mind that I'm constantly looking out my window to see you.
Listen, our attraction to each other is no secret. All right.
Yes. Listen, just for the record, it would not be considered creepy if you watched me shower.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
All right. Vice versa, my friend. Vice versa.
Very good.
Why would you think of me during that movie? Am I the guy yelling or the kid getting beaten?
You're the guy yelling. You are the guy who is.
Oh, I see. Yes.
Listen, he has.
Spoilers.
Spoilers. Yeah. He yells a lot.
Yeah.
But no, it reminded me very much of your parenting style. Obviously, he goes way further with it than you do.
Yes.
But you didn't see yourself in that guy?
No, I did.
Oh, you did? Okay, all right.
I did, what I thought was interesting about it, and you bringing it up solidified it for me, that I go, why is it that I don't look at this guy as being the villain? Like, the whole time I'm watching this going, I feel like there's a reason why he's doing this, and it all kind of, I don't know, I don't want to ruin it, but it all kind of came to fruition for
me. Well, I mean, at the end, I bring it up now because I finally bullied Luna and Diego into watching it today, so that's what we were doing, which is why I bumped the start of the show a little bit, because I wanted to be there while they were watching it. Mostly so I could serve them food, feed the dogs, and do other animal.
It's like one of those premium AMC theaters that you have in your house.
It is.
They hit a little button and you come by.
Yeah.
What do you think of the movie? I think my corn dogs are low. That's what I think. Jesus, quit talking to me.
And there was a change of menu. I had served quiche, but then one of the quiches just wasn't cared for. So I had to quickly turn out a hot dog.
By whose standards?
Well, I had...
That means yours.
No. We had purchased it at this at the place where we got the pie.
Yeah.
Because they had food there as well. And I said, look,
why not have
let's get everything. I'll bring it home.
A savory pie as well on Pie Day.
Exactly. Bring it all home, and then I won't have to make dinner as well. We can get right into the show. And so Diego had never had quiche before, and he didn't care for it much. He didn't get very far. It just looked too weird, and I understand. So anyway, somehow it got eaten anyway by Luna. This is good. Don't worry, I'll eat it. I'm going to be in so much trouble.
So many people are happy. The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. God rest his soul, but if there's something that we learn from Leonard Nimoy himself, is that these people need to laugh.
They do.
Even if it makes your wife very angry and hurts her feelings tremendously.
That's a small price to pay. So in any case, he sent back the the quiche. I spit in it before I served it to Luna. And I,
man, that's what made it so good.
I made him a hot dog.
Nice.
So in any case, I don't even know what I was saying. They saw it.
You were talking about Whiplash.
And yeah, and it just made me, I realized I'd never said that to you during the course of it.
Yeah.
She very much saw him as a villain. And didn't care for him at all, and didn't turn at all.
Did you point out to her your comparison to me?
I think I may have done that originally. I didn't have a lot of time after it was over to go into it, and we suddenly started getting into some kind of a fight that I didn't fully understand. So I quickly grabbed.
She's expecting the best out of you.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
That's what I thought. She's trying to make the genius in me emerge.
Yes.
Yeah. So in any case. I got out of there as quickly as I could, which is why I didn't have the pie with me when I got here. I was like, oh, fuck.
You don't have to worry about bringing pie.
I know. I just thought it would be funny for pie day.
Oh, okay.
You can give it to your wife, and then you can
have some pie, too.
Share
yeah,
pie
come on!
There.
Thank you.
So as for the actual pick a flick, so everyone go see Whiplash. It was on Amazon. Stream it on Amazon. Mm-hmm. It's worth it. They really love the movie, by the way. They enjoyed the hell out of it.
Far better than Birdman.
Don't start. Okay.
Can't wait to watch Birdman.
You know what's not far better than Birdman?
Uh-oh.
The Lazarus Effect.
Oh, no.
In theaters now.
What?
He hates another one.
Well, Luna is particularly fond of horror films.
Really?
And so I like to go.
They make me feel alive inside.
They're incomparable. So we were choosing between this, which got something like a 33 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Nice. That's a solid number.
Yeah, it was 33 by the audience. It was like a 13 by critics. So we went anyway.
You know what would have been more entertaining?
What?
Sitting in front of the movie theater after purchasing a box of popcorn and setting that $20 on fire.
On fire,
that
yes.
would have been more horrific
yes.
than anything that you saw in that hour and 45 minutes.
That is probably true. And, shoot, I lost it. It was Friday the 13th. That's why we went. Yesterday was Friday the 13th.
I was like, there's a new Friday the 13th
no,
movie?
No. So this movie, Olivia Wilde.
Yeah.
Mark Duplass.
She's in this?
Yes.
That makes it worth it.
Well,
how many lipsticks?
You know what? Not enough.
Not enough, but there is some.
Look, it's like a quarter of a lipstick and isn't even her lipstick.
Really? How do you know?
Because I could see.
Oh.
I don't understand the question.
Well,
there's only one. There's a young woman in a black tank top.
I see.
And you can sort of see the silhouette.
I thought you were saying it was a body double.
No.
I thought is what you said.
No, I just meant that it's a different character.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, you really have to be scraping them. You have to be 19, like early 80s, watching scrambled porn.
Right.
You know,
this is one step below that or above?
Well, it's right in there.
It's almost too close
to call.
Like a close tie.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I've seen a green nipple. I'm not ashamed to say it.
Right. It's all just
jumping around.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And the noises are
Mark Duplass.
Take it.
Yeah, well, you got to go with that. That's all you got at that point is the noises.
That slapping bass sound. Boom.
Evan Peters is in it, who is in the American Horror Story series. He's been in every season, so you might recognize him from that. But Donald Glover, who's from Community. So they got a bunch of TV actors for next to nothing.
Uh-huh.
And Ray Wise is in it briefly. And it's just one of those, it's a 10 little Indian setup. You get a bunch of people trapped in a place or isolated in a place, and then they start dying one by one. You know what? It's so you're just there for fun, but I would say don't even bother.
What's the last scary movie you saw? The like kind
that
of freaked
actually
you out.
Scared me.
What's that one? That's this is a horrible thing for me to bring up, but it's
don't
got
worry.
That doll Annabelle. They just made the prequel.
Well, there's this movie called Annabelle.
Yeah, that's the prequel to the other one. I haven't seen Annabelle yet.
Oh, I see. I'm not sure. You look that up. I'm just going to look up.
So we're both not going to talk then?
No. You can talk. I remember liking the others.
The Conjuring. Thank you, Lacey, in the chat room.
Yes, thank you, Lacey.
The Conjuring kind of freaked me out a little bit.
We did see all of these, but I don't know. They all leave me a little bit cold. Mostly, I'm there.
What? The Exorcist.
No, I liked The Exorcist. If you're going to go back to the 70s.
If you're going to go back to the 70s.
I'm saying once Friday the 13th was born, that series and the
campy horror film
the,
was made.
Yeah, the slasher horror, it started to lose it. I did like the first Saw.
Okay.
It wasn't quite so much horror porn.
Yeah.
It was just a little bit before that. But I don't know.
Is it better when we do these early on in the day?
No.
I feel like I'm losing
slowly. Well, here's the thing. Diego and I did a hike this morning, and or not even this morning. 11:30 we got up there. I'm like, this is ridiculous.
Still the morning. Come on.
Well, yeah, but by the time we were down, it was...
That is a teenage sunrise, is what I've heard it called. It's 11:30.
I love that. That's awesome. You know what I really like? This is going back to speaking of the 70s.
Yeah.
American Werewolf in London.
Oh, I have not seen that in forever. I saw that when I was very
young. Good.
Yeah.
I have to say.
What are your TV recommendations?
The TV recommendations are, did I talk about Better Call Saul?
Yes. Okay. No. But we started watching it. My wife and I, we love it.
It's great. If you like Breaking Bad, you know,
it's
a lot
very
of the same,
different from
very
Breaking
different,
Bad.
But a lot of the same creative.
It's like they're like,
people.
We're just going to do whatever the hell we want.
Well, seriously.
They do a lot of really weird story things, but it's very compelling and very fun to
watch.
It's
very good. And again, if you're into that other, it's you know.
I hope you're about to say the other one I'm thinking of for the new TV shows that are awesome.
I can't remember what I was
going
to say.
If not, Jack is going to take over for you so quickly.
No. Wait.
You forgot your second TV recommendation?
No, I didn't. I swear. I have a list here.
Better Call Saul is great. So if you like Breaking Bad, you love it. Do you want me just to say mine?
Yeah, say yours.
The Last Man on Earth.
Yes, that was exactly the
one. Oh my gosh, isn't that the best show ever?
I was not expecting to like that. I just thought it looked sad.
Anybody who watches the first two episodes, let me just tell you that it gets better. We're three episodes in.
Yeah,
and it's already
really,
my favorite television
I really
show.
Went into it thinking I am not going to watch this. Yeah. This thing is going to be canceled. It's only six episodes and it's never going to get through the third one.
Oh, so great.
Yes.
So awesome. Oh, so fun.
It's amazing what you can do with almost no characters in a cast.
But I think, anyway. All right, well, is that enough for Pick a Flick or am I cutting you off?
That's good.
All right. We did it.
He didn't cheer and sing. He hated everything. Yes, that was Paco's Pick a Flick.
All right, moment of the week, y'all.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally, they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the Week, brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
My moment of the week, as I said before, involves us getting to hang out with my dear friend Kevin's son, Quinn.
Oh, yeah.
I got choked up with my wife about what my son did. It was just nice to see them kind of take him in and play with him and everything. But this one is more about Jacob than it is about Jack, in that there was a night that he kind of started to miss mom and dad. He was with us for 4 days.
Yeah.
And by the end of, I think it was day three, is when it was like, okay, enough of this Worsham bullshit. He wasn't used to getting yelled at. he had never evidently had anybody lay a hand on him. No, right.
He didn't know the answer to, is this your car?
Yes, exactly. I pay for all of this. it was just cute because, I don't know, that boy of mine. We joke a lot about how hard I am on him and how much I lean on him, and it's, to me, in my opinion, it's moments like this that makes it go, this is why, because that son of mine has an emotional awareness that I don't think any 6-year-old I've seen. I would go toe to toe to anybody who has a 6-year-old listening right now with my child. I'm sorry, I'm going to say it's a moment of the week. Fuck you. I'm going to brag about my kid. He came and he told me, he said, well, Quinn says he misses his mom.
Yeah.
And I was making dinner and stuff like that. And I was trying to get everything ready and I was by myself. Natalie had to work late. And I said, okay, I go, give me one sec. I'll be in there. And he wasn't crying or anything. So he was talking about it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go back 2 days. The first night he spent with us, we put a little toddler bed
at the foot of Jacob's bed. And yeah. They shared a room. And Jacob read a story to him.
How old is Quinn?
Quinn is 2.5.
Wow, okay.
And so Jacob read a book to him, like Go Dogs Go, he read to him.
Okay.
And we took pictures and videos, and I was very proud of my kid. And then when it was time to go to bed, I was doing something else, I can't remember, but Natalie was putting him to bed, and Jacob was holding hands with Jack. And then Natalie said, okay, good night. We weren't sure how it was going to go. We turned the lights down.
Boom, boom.
Yeah. My wife and I got so busy, and then we went back and looked at the kid. No, we weren't sure how it was going to go down, and Jacob was holding his hand, but when Jacob would let go, Jacob moved his pillow so that his pillow was at the foot of his bed, yeah, so he could be closer to Quinn to make him feel more comfortable.
Okay.
And Jacob was holding Quinn's hand, and when he would pull his hand away, Quinn would kind of go, and so Jacob gave him his hand back. Yeah. And he did this twice, and then he looked at his mom and very quietly said, Mom, I don't know how I can do this. I don't think I'm going to be able to sleep. It was very adorable that he cared so much and wanted to make him feel comfortable. But there was a night, the third night, that he had the kind of a rough moment, if you would, that was very quickly remedied by my six-year-old before I could get in there.
Yeah.
And I go in there to check on him, and I said, are you okay? And he says, uh-huh. And he had his blanket and his pacifier, and you could tell that he was just kind of tired.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, when kids get tired or they get sick, they want their mom. You know, it's like a natural
thing. Yeah, yeah.
So he's in there doing that, and I go, okay, well, you all right? I go, do you want me to hold you? Or he's like, no. And he just wanted, I go, do you want to come sit and watch? He has a favorite movie, Big Hero 6. I go, you want me to put on Big Hero 6? He's like, no. So I said, okay, do you want to just hang out here? He goes, yeah. And then I come back in there, and Jacob was reading him another book, but this was a book Jacob couldn't really read, and it was like Roly Poly Oly, I think is the name of the book or something like that. And Jacob had turned this kid around who was kind of sad and missing his mom, but had found a way to entertain him and keep him happy, and just did it without even thinking about it.
Right.
And I could say thus far in his, you know, short life, I've never been more proud of that kid at any other moment than that one. It was, it gets me choked up even thinking about it. Cause it was just, it was beautiful. If I can be honest, is that he's just such a damn good kid, you know? And it was very sweet. And a touching moment, and it's one of those, and that's what I think moment of the week is. Most of mine are goofy and silly, but it's one of those moments that it made me feel like what I'm doing is right.
Yeah.
Like whatever it is, good, bad, whatever, it is working with that child, and he is a kind and caring person with a good head on his shoulders, even at six.
That even you can't break.
I can't seem to ruin it. As much as I tried. No, and I don't know. Maybe it is wildly narcissistic. And
yeah.
And if it is, fuck it. I truly feel like I am responsible for that. And I very rarely do I do this because I know I like to joke. But
yeah,
I do. I feel responsible for that. And I feel proud of that. And again, like I said, I've never been more proud of that kid than in that moment. It was really, really, truly beautiful, and just the kindness that both of them, like, he had Jack's kitty. That was kind of my thing with Jack, is that he had Jack's kitty, and Jack's like, that's my kitty. And I said, yeah, he's just going to borrow it. And he's like, but he's going to slobber on it. That's what he said. I go, he's not going to slobber on it. He's just going to hug it and go to sleep. You have your Tigger anyway. And Jack was like, okay. Like,
right.
Just
right.
Watching my little family do what was good, like to help somebody out, to take care of other people. I don't know. I was very proud of that. That's it for me.
Well, I tell you, I'm going to do something extremely rare.
Uh-oh.
I had a couple of things here to talk about.
Uh-huh.
That was very moving, what you just said, and I'm going to let that be the last word on the show. I'm serious.
Okay.
It was very sweet, and I was very touched.
Well, thank you, sir. It was a cool thing. It was, I felt bad because my wife came home, and I was telling her about it, and I didn't know. I was happy when I saw it, but it was weird for me.
Going to affect
you. Yeah, when I started talking about it, I was very much, but I bawled like a baby right there in the kitchen.
Yeah.
I was like, it was, I knew, and I felt bad for this little guy. He had never been away from his parents for longer than a few hours, and now he was with this other family for 4 days. Like, and just to see, you know, my guys kind of rise to the occasion was a very cool thing for me, and I'm sorry I keep repeating the same things again and again.
I will touch back on the horror films on the next Pick a Flick. I looked at some of the ones from last year, and
I'm sorry I cut you off.
No, we'll
be back again in 2 days. That's what's nice about being bi-weekly. All right, so you can send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. I am going to be at the River Center Comedy Club in San Antonio, Texas, April 1st through through April 4th, headlining there. If you have questions for Rachel, she's going to be recording with us when I come back from Texas on that Tuesday evening.
Okay, cool.
Her and her boyfriend are going to come over and have dinner, and then we're going to do a little podcast. She will be in studio, as they say in the business.
Okay, now you have just ruined it for me.
Why?
She's a boyfriend.
Yeah. Yeah, she is. Well, not a husband.
Well, there's that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And don't forget, you can leave us a voicemail at 87. Oh, I'm sorry if anybody called. Oh, please let nobody have called. I've left that thing open this whole time. Okay, good. Nobody called. I'm sorry. But you can leave us a voicemail at 877-222-8323 if you'd like to have that played on the show. Do that there. You could follow the show on Twitter at Dad Podcast. Follow me on Twitter at Justin Worsham. Follow Paco on Twitter at The Real Paco L. All of that stuff. If you want to listen to us live, the URL is in the description of this episode. Don't forget to check out Justin is Married, Booker is Single. Subscribe to that, even if you're tired of listening to my voice, because I need the downloads with our new CBS radio deal. The more downloads we get, the more money that you could put in my pocket. And I need more downloads on this show. So please do me a favor. Get three people to subscribe to this show before this summer, and we could triple the numbers and be the number one podcast for parents. I want to kick Sesame Street's ass. Easy. I'm coming for you, Oscar the Grouch. I'm coming for fucking Barney the Dinosaur. I don't know who else is up there. Whatever Nick Jr. bullshit is up there. I'm coming for the Bubble Guppies. I'm going to kick their fucking ass.
And Corolla.
Corolla's wife. Sure, it's a little weird for me to go after a couple ladies, but I'll do it. I'll,
yeah, listen.
I will podcast slap a bitch is what I will do.
Exactly.
So please tell three people out the show. And don't forget to do this fantastic thing that Paco's going to tell you about.
Well, you know what? This is going to be a straight Paco.
Oh,
I got to be serious here.
Okay.
This is dead serious as it was. I was very touched by your moment of the week.
Oh, thank you.
Listen, I've been sitting over here for a long time. It's been a while since you said anything meaningful. No.
It's true.
No, people, he's a very decent man. And so here's what I want you to do. In honor of that thing he just shared with us, I mean, this guy's, he talks to you all the time, but he's essentially a stranger to all of you. But he sits down at this microphone because of various psychoses he's got.
That's true.
And he shares with you the deepest, most raw parts of himself. And he did that today. And in honor of that sharing, I want you to go to the Dad Podcast website, scroll down to the bottom. Click on the Amazon banner there. It's going to take you through to Amazon. You're going to bookmark it. And then every time you go back there, for every dumb little thing you get, buy your light bulbs on Amazon. Doesn't matter what it is. $2, $3, $5, $10, $100, whatever it is you spend there, we're going to get a couple little pennies. It's going to help us out a great deal. And it's going to honor the good work this man does and the pleasure that we all have in sharing this time together. Thank you, and go do it.
All right. On behalf of my good friend, Paco, the amazing Diego, this is Justin Worsham saying stay frosty.